It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Our motto is tough, smart, physical. We want to be a tough football team. We want to be a smart football team. We want to out physical the other team. Then mixing up the fronts, the three-man front, the four-man front, and then blitzing out of both fronts. You know, those eight sacks were awesome. There's an old adage that says, hey, whenever there's a quarterback battle, you really don't have a guy. I do not feel that way. Any one of these three can be leaders of our team and be the every rep guy.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
It's Tuesday night. Head coach Jay Long of the Chadron State Eagles joining us in studio as we do weekly here on the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows. Coach, good to have you in. Can't wait to talk about this one. A nice solid win, 57-20 over Fort Lewis on Saturday. How satisfying was that one for you and for the team? Share the vibe that you felt with the guys down there on the sideline. A nice solid homecoming victory.
Dave, it felt good, man. We really needed it. Our kids needed it. I think the fans needed it. It was just a really fun day. We had a great atmosphere. Our tailgate area back there, Dave, is getting really, really cool. That atmosphere back there and our Eagle Walk is a really cool part of it. And then crowd-wise, with the band day there, homecoming, there's a reunion team there. It was just a really cool atmosphere and a really big day for Eagle football. We had a good time.
Couldn't have asked for better weather, too. Just a perfect fall afternoon. Eagle Walks going strong. That was great to see once again. Two fans. Couple hours before kick, team walks through the tailgate area if you want to join here coming up in a couple weeks. Touchdowns, Coach, came on the first four Chadron State drives. Just a perfect start for your offense this week. What made this game the one where everything clicked early and often throughout the day?
Dave, I've been saying it, for the past, ever since Black Hills. We've been playing pretty good football. We were just a little bit outmatched with Western and Mines, but we've been playing good football on Saturday. It just really clicked, and it was awesome for the guys. I mean, when it was one of them deals where whatever play we called, it was working, and Tom Thomas had a terrific day. We got the ball to him numerous times, and another one was Grant Swenson. He just did an outstanding job of not only catching balls, but he also blocked very, very well. We also had a game where we won up front, and we've been struggling with that. We won up front in Quincy versus Quincy, and then we won up front on Saturday. So it shows that's a big part of our winning with things too. And then also I thought Preston played outstanding. I think he was 14 for 16 and had a ton of yards. I think we had over 500 yards offense. So it was just one of them days where, man, it really clicked, and it was good because we've been playing good football the past, like I said, 3 weeks, and we need to continue it as we go down the stretch.
Great to see it cash in, Coach. We're going to go deep on a lot of those topics you just brought up. We'll start on that receiving side. You mentioned Tom Thomas, RMAC Player of the Week, a four-touchdown game for Tommy. He's just so explosive. What made him be even more explosive and set that four TD mark on Saturday?
We've been targeting him, a ton this year, and he's got great stats. He's been a top player in the league, and it was just another one of those days where he had a big one. There was a lot of standouts, but one that stood out to me was when he took a bubble screen pass, which is it's a behind the line of scrimmage pass, and then took it for about a 70 yards touchdown, 60 or 70 yard touchdown, and he lost his shoe during it and ran a touchdown with that. But that was big. Also, he caught a real big touchdown pass in the end zone that was a hard catch to get, and he went out and got it. So him and Preston have really had a really good connection this year, and Tommy's been one of those guys that we need to lean on, and when we talked about it a couple weeks ago, we kind of treated him like a running back versus Carroll School Mines. We wanted to hit short passes and let Tommy go get some yards and let Grant and the other receivers go make something happen, and that was a really good game plan last week, and this week we wanted to do a lot of the same because it worked so well, and this time he broke some big tackles.
Coach Long with us on the Jay Long Show on Tuesday nights. Coach, what is it about Tommy and Preston that makes them so good? It's like you said, they're really working well together. It's no secret they want to connect I think 18 targets in the Colorado Mines game, bunch on Saturday. What is it that, if anything, you've noticed that maybe makes those two such a special, cohesive unit?
You know, that's a great question. And you know, I just think that it just comes down to repetition, and they've been together for a while, and, you know, sticking around in the summers and throwing with each other in the summers and those type of things. Those are the things that help, you know, help you win and help you have, you know, great falls with things. And I think that probably, I guess, that above all else is probably what, you know, stands out the most, is they've thrown to each other a lot over their career with things.
The old practice makes perfect kind of deal, huh?
Yes. And I'm trying to think in my head as I go through here with COVID, everybody's year are a little bit different, but I'm pretty sure they're the same age. They came in the same year together. So, you know, I think that also probably helps, you know, throwing to each other and scout team and everything else like that.
Yeah, they've got a cohesive thing going now, and it's just fun to watch, Coach. And as we move forward, looking more at the quarterback situation, you've chosen to go to a one quarterback system now. Preston Pearson has taken all the snaps in the last 2.5 games. It looks like at this point in the season, you guys have decided that the one QB system, the best path for your offense to go. Can you take us inside the scheme change a bit, where at one point, just to lay some groundwork for fans that aren't familiar, you guys had at one point multiple QBs, even rotating in play-by-play or drive-by-drive. Now it's one QB. Take us inside of that.
You know, I think really, Dave, it's, you know, what we're doing with all of our positions, we're trying to find out what works and what is the best fit for the team and you know, what is helping us move the sticks. And, you know, we've been doing things with the O-line. I've never in my career rotated O-line as much as I've rotated this year, but we're trying to find the right guys for the right scheme with things. And you know, I think Preston, you know, started feeling a lot more comfortable. And as things progressed, you know, it was working. So that's what we stuck with. And you know, he's, you know, really, you know, done a great job, you know, as the season has progressed. And, you know, as this season goes, you know, we're always just one hit away, one weird something happening away from, you know, any guy going out there. And you know, one thing that we have is we have a lot of depth at that quarterback position, a lot of different guys that have taken snaps underneath the quarterbacks in games. So we do still have that, you know, going for us also. But, you know, really, I think the easiest answer for that is just, we've been trying different things, and we're trying to find out what works for us.
Yeah, I found something really working with Preston. Coach, do you feel like now in football you have to be more adaptive to make major changes, like during the season, in terms of those type of things, where, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, and even before my time back then, you know, it seemed like things were a lot more simpler on offense in the NFL or the college level. Do you feel like now making major changes to what you guys as a staff want to do, or as you watch games in the NFL and college happen, do you have to, as a staff, be a lot more adaptive and open to being willing to change some things up nowadays in college football in 2023?
You know, if I just, you know, think about when I played, you know, it was you know, there. I don't know if the offenses were more complex or less complex, but I felt like it was simpler. We didn't have all the film technology that we have now. And so, you know, you weren't able to break down, you know, the practices and other people's games and their tendencies as much as you can now. And huddle is you know, a great tool. And you know, I was at my son's football game last night, the JV game, and it was Shattern versus Scottsbluff JV. And I was talking to one of my friends, and he's like, hey, today no practice. It's nice for you to have a day off. And I said, really, our Mondays are our hardest days, because Sunday and Mondays are hardest days, because, you know, we break down so much. And when you look at it, we break down, we even film our individual in practices. So Wow. Our players are able to, you know, see daily, you know, what their individual is doing and you know, see what they need to be doing with their steps and those type of things. But I think all of that film capability is, and all the that stuff has made it where we can, maybe we've informed our kids a little bit more, where, you know, you can tweak things, you know, fairly easy with it. But one thing you do find out, Dave, was when you're struggling, you need to simplify. And we did simplify a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think that also really helped us. So, you know, as we go, and now, you know, now it's time to, you know, add a few more tweaks with things that we see from film. But I know I gave a long answer on this, but I don't really know if I gave a good answer, but I can tell you that with all the capabilities we have, our kids are more educated, so it does make things a little more complex.
Yeah, and it's great. I think we could do a whole podcast on some of this stuff and the evolution of football. Maybe I ought to sit in on your class and hear what you've got to say more about it, because it's interesting stuff to hear about, Coach. So we definitely appreciate you getting into that. And one final touch on that, is it hard to manage information overall? overload in the age of this technology? I mean, literally, there's so much, and 24 hours in a day, I know you can only spend so much time with a team, but how do you manage that information overload and decide what to sift through, what's important, and what stuff you really don't need to look at?
That's such a great question, Dave. You know, we have a new coach that we got on our staff, Coach Hudson, and his last job was with LSU when they won the national title, and he was an offensive analyst. And, you know, I ask a lot of questions, you know, what that all entails. And you know, basically the bigger programs, they hire guys to break down the information and help put together the game plans for the coordinators so the coordinators can recruit and then also, you know, be able to, you know, have a big chunk of the game plan already broken down for them when they start on Sunday with things for the upcoming game. So to answer that question, the easiest way is, there's a ton of information, Dave. I mean, it's really whatever, as much as you want to punch into that computer, you can get. And then, at the end of it, you know, we got to put together a plan where that information we're getting makes our X's beat their O's or our O's beat their X's is what we have to do. So it's neat. It's definitely a change from, you know, when I started coaching in 2000. And another change is, you know, like you can see it on our team. You know, we have instant replay now on our sideline, which is just huge.
Yeah.
And I am 0-2 in coaches' challenges. I will tell you, I knew both of them were a long stretch when I challenged them, but they were at a good opportune chance in the game where I wanted to just see.
Yeah, you can't just let the replay crew sit up there with nothing to do. Got to give them something to do, Coach.
And earn their money.
Right? And you got to remember to eat and sleep and spend that quality time with family with the information stuff. So it's good that you guys are getting a handle on how to just dissect all this and what matters week to week. Great stuff with Coach Long on this Tuesday show. Let's get back into Saturday, Coach. Win over Fort Lewis, 57-20. Let's go defense now. Logan O'Brien, a huge factor, had a great game. And who else do you want to highlight? What do you want to highlight about your defense? Mm-hmm. You really limited the Skyhawks.
You know, Logan had a terrific game, not only on defense. He also won the hammer this week for our special teams player of the year or of the week. And he ran down on a kickoff and laid just a huge hit. And, you know, we always say nothing fires up a team better than a big hit on special teams. And he went down there and made a huge one. You know, Logan O'Brien's been making a lot of plays all year, and he's one of those that's in a tough position. He backs up Xavier Harrell, who's he is one of the best players on our team. He's arguably one of the best in the conference, and if not the best in the conference. And Logan O'Brien has really shown that he can play and play at a high level, and we're trying to get him more ways to get on that football field because he has been doing such great things. So really cool for him. And then also, you know, Hunter O'Connor, and that's another name you got to say. I mean, he had a big day on Saturday and was all over the place. Kobe Whipple had a sack and a half for a nose. That's really awesome. It was sack and a half's awesome anyways, but to be a nose and get a sack and a half, that's even better because you never get a one-on-one block as a nose. You're always getting doubled, and he stood out. But, you know, really, I guess if you want to just go, it was a great team day. The whole defense, you know, was all over the ball. We did a good job of running the ball. In the first half, we were a little bit upset on missing some tackles, missing some sacks. But then at the second half, you know, we got it done. And I thought the guys did a really good job coming out and finishing the game.
And when you're getting it done like you did on Saturday, it gives an opportunity to get some new guys onto the playing field, see some experience, utilize the bonus of the three-game redshirt rule, too. And so a lot of freshmen played. A couple that definitely stood out. Devin Jones at running back. Tell us more about him for sure. He scored a touchdown towards the end of the game. Griffin Club at linebacker ended the game with a tackle, and he's a young guy that we've heard you guys like as a staff, too, and his potential as well. So those are two guys, but a lot more played. Tell us about the freshmen.
Yeah, we played quite a few. I think we played 7 or 8 true freshmen in that group, and we've been playing consistently 3 or 4 that are going to not redshirt this year. They've already played their 4 games, or their 5 games, excuse me, I think they're at right now. Well, no, they played all 6 with things. So, you know, they know that they're not going to redshirt, but the redshirt rule where they can play in 3 games is really been an awesome opportunity for us. And, you know, Ryder True was a Ben Long snapping for us. He long snapped for three games, and then you know, now we're going to preserve his red shirt. And then Jace Kern came in, and then he long snapped for us. You know, then we'll see where we're at here in a couple more weeks. I think Adam Lynch is, you know, for those that don't know, he, you know, he got injured in the Black Hills game, so we've been going with a different long snapper, and so we'll see where he's at, you know, in two more weeks after Jace is done. So when you would talk about, you know, the reasons why we all voted for it, that right there is a perfect reason why we voted for it.
Yeah.
With things that we didn't have to, you know, have a freshman kid lose his red shirt with things because of you know, an injury. So sure. That was awesome there.
Devin Jones, can you tell us a little bit more about Devin? Yeah. A guy from Eastern Nebraska. It's fun to get those guys to come out west. There's some good high school football out in the metros of the East. And Devin comes over from Papillion, and boy, did he have a nice game. He's an impressive looking back.
Yeah, you know, when you look at him, I think the biggest thing stands out is his size. You know, he's really, really a kid that's put together very well, and he also can run. And he showed that on a couple 9-yard runs. And then at the very end, he popped a big run. I think it was around that 50-yard run, so he got to show his speed too. So yeah, it was a good combination. He's been doing some really good things in practice. He's one of those guys that when you look at the way practices are built now and everywhere, I think the NFL only has 13 padded practices the whole
wow.
year.
Wow.
And you know, college is moving that way too. Where, you know, we're only in pads, counting game. We're in pads 3 days a week. The other three we're in non-pads, and so half the week we're non-padded, and his running style isn't really conducive for a thud. He is a back that hits holes hard and is able to get those extra yak yards, and he had a really big day, and it was fun to watch him. I was glad that we were able to get him in the game.
Yeah, very exciting for this year and the future with Devin there and what he showed us as we keep going with Coach Long on a great review of Saturday. We'll look ahead at Adams State here in just a moment, too. Coach, let's get into the offensive line now. You briefly touched on it. Last week you said you wanted to rotate and find some guys that would perform at that high level and perform consistently for you out there. Do you feel like that manifested itself and you found some of that?
You know, Dave, it's starting to shape up. You know, we will probably end up rotating again a little bit more this week. It's finding the best five guys, and you know, Dave, with offensive line, it's really about being consistent every play. I listened to Mark Schlereth speak the other day on a cool motivational deal, and he's like, you can go out into a game and you can win every play, and then he says, but then all of a sudden you might get beat once by an athlete that's probably a better athlete than you, and that guy can beat you that one play, hit the quarterback, and cause a fumble, and you are the worst player on the football field. And that's, you know, it was a pretty good way to sum up offensive line. But you have to be consistent, you know, every play against an athlete that's probably a better athlete than you are. So, I think that we're getting there. We had a lot of growth. We've had a lot of growth since the Black Hills game. And Malik has been a guy that's starting to stand out. Michael DeCamillis is always a guy that has been a standout over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just trying to figure out what's. Oh, and then also D'Anthony Smith had a really good game last week too. And those three have really proved it that consistency is starting to work with us. But the two guard positions is somewhere we just need to find a little bit more consistency with things, and that's where we've been rotating the most at.
And now going to Alamosa, my guess is that the rotations would continue even just to keep fresh with that high altitude and conditioning and all that stuff. Now that we're going to Alamosa for Adams State this week. Is the rotation kind of help with just keeping guys ready to go for four full quarters?
Dave, this is a great question. Con Marshall asked me this right when I got here in like 2012, 2013. He goes, you know, all I hear is every year is our defensive coordinator saying, hey, we're just going to keep rotating D linemen so that way we can wear out the O linemen. And Con goes, why don't you just rotate the O linemen too? And, you know, I didn't have a very good answer for him then. And I'm not going to give you a great answer now why offensive lines don't rotate as much. Besides that part, you want that consistency of you know what the guy beside you is going to do.
Yeah.
But I can tell you also with the new way that we practice, we get a lot more reps, and that consistency is built in practice is where it's built. So to answer your question, yeah, with this elevation, it's not a bad idea to continue to rotate.
All right, Coach, we'll take a look at Adams in just a moment. Also look at injuries and health. Let's take a look at that first, injuries and health. Jaden Cox, the running back, we didn't see him on Saturday. Junior Ducale in the defensive backfield as well. how'd you come out of the game, too, in terms of bangs and bruises? Didn't look like anybody got anything too serious at all on Saturday, which is always good news.
Jaden Cox ended up on Friday. He just didn't feel right. So we end up, he's going to be another week. He practiced Sunday and going to practice today. I would be real surprised if he doesn't play this Saturday. I'll just put it that way. On Tuesday, obviously, I'm talking.
Okay.
Junior Duclay, we're going to wait one more week with him. We'll be looking at him with Pueblo, with things. But Dave, our injury report is getting pretty big. We are starting to get banged up pretty good with things. And this last game, we were able to play a lot of players, which did take a little stress off some guys. But we're starting to get banged up a little bit more. I'll know more on Friday. The doctor came on Monday morning. We've had two meetings since then, but we haven't had a practice yet. So we need to see where our guys are at there, but we are a little bit banged up.
All right, Coach, we'll finish up as we always do, previewing the next game. And Saturday, we're going to take a gorgeous drive into the Colorado Mountains this time of year with all those trees changing colors and see the Adams State Grizzlies in their green and black on the field. ASU, a team that has been struggling over the last few years, but that's always a tricky game at Rec Stadium, isn't it? Kind of just one of those trips. I know you guys are looking forward to carrying that momentum forward against the Grizzlies. What can you tell us about the matchup, what you'll see, and some of the early stuff on them this week?
Yeah, I think first, we're excited to go play them, man. It's gonna be a fun game and a great opportunity for us. And Dave, we like I said last week, I said right now everybody else on our rosters, or excuse me, everybody else on our schedule, their records are the same. They're trying to find ways to win and trying to finish this thing out strong. And we're excited to keep this thing building. And we've been playing, like I said, the past 3 weeks, really good football, and we're excited to continue this. And I talked to the guys on Sunday, and when we talked, it was really just about hey, we got to continue to do the little things. We got to do the things that make sure we're taking care of our bodies. We got to make sure that we're hydrating, eating right, getting our sleep. Also, Dave, it's midterm, so we got to make sure that we finish strong in the classroom. And then we do those little things like that. Then now let's go to the next part. Let's control our meetings. Let's have great practices, and then all of those things then turn into a great day on Saturday. And our guys have been believing in what we're doing, and guys are working hard, and our coach has been coaching their tails off, and just the lack of better terms, I'm just really excited to go play and keep this thing going.
Jay and I will get into the details of CSC and Adams State on Saturday morning before kickoff, 12:15 for the pregame and 1 o'clock for the game itself in Alamosa on Double Q Country. Coach, thanks as always for the great insights here on this Tuesday edition of the Jay Long Show. Great win on Saturday, and good luck this week too.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. We appreciate everybody's support, man. We're excited, and go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street, or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268. Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.